Let me invite you to turn with me, if you care to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 in your New Testaments. In just a moment, we'll begin right there. Our thanks for the song and the prayer and for the introduction by Brother Wayne. We join with Wayne in welcoming each of you to the morning assembly of the Horse Cave Church of Christ. And for this Bible class hour, let me say just a word about Wayne's pronunciation of my name. It doesn't bother us a bit. Years ago, I was in a meeting in Durham, North Carolina, and a relative of mine whom I had never met from High Point, North Carolina. And I'm sure Wayne knows where that is, having preached in North Carolina. But Charlie Futrell came down from High Point, North Carolina, and we got to talking, Wayne, about how our name was pronounced and different spellings of Futrell, some with one L and two T's, and some like us with one T and two L's, and what difference, if any, it made. And he said, all I can tell you, and Charlie's about the age of my dad in his 70s, and he said, all I can tell you is that my dad told me that if they had money, it was Futrell. If they didn't, it was Futrell. And he said, we didn't have any money, so we're just Futrell. And I said, well, we're right there with you. No money, so we're just Futrells. But if we ever get any, we're going to become Futrells. So, well, apparently that has gotten around with our family. So if I'm privileged to come back and somehow we strike it rich, then Wayne, you just go ahead and call me Futrell. So I don't anticipate that being the case. Oh, great to be with you. Pleasure to be with you. You know, I didn't know what to expect with the weather before we go somewhere for the first time. We've been, of course, to Harrodsburg before. I preached there, and up in Elizabethtown, I preached in Louisville, and all those places we've always enjoyed good weather, but this meeting's a little bit later than when I had been in the other spots. And so we got on the internet and checked it out, and it looked like it was going to be really good. It's even better than what was anticipated. So this is wonderful weather that you're having here, and we couldn't be more pleased with the assembly, with the numbers that have gathered each evening, with everyone's good attitude and disposition, with the weather. And like Ken mentioned in our prayer, we'll look forward to the social fellowship and the meal that we'll have to enjoy just a little bit from now. It's about 11 or 12 minutes after the hour, and we want to be timely. We do have a little drive after our regular assembly over to the school for the meal. But our Bibles are open to Matthew chapter 8, our theme of the hour, the blessings of heaven. And I want to begin simply by reminding you of what you already know, and that is that the term heaven is used in the Bible, Old and New Testaments, in different ways, in different senses, depending upon the context. Matthew 8 and verse 20, there our Lord said, the foxes have holes. I'm quoting from the old King James translation. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20. You know, that's a sobering verse, is it not? Think about that. Our Lord saying, the foxes have a place to pillow their head, they have the holes, the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man, a designation used almost exclusively by our Lord Himself, and going back to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and following, and it's really a statement of His deity more so than His humanity. But our Lord refers to Himself as the Son of Man, and I don't have anywhere to lay my head. It's touch almost makes you want to cry. We've all got homes, whether we own them or rent them. We have places to pillow our heads at night. We have food on the table, multitude of changes of clothing, etc. And Jesus did so poorly in this life, and all of that for us. But our real point there is, the expression in the King James, the birds of the air have nests, is more literally translated, the birds of the heaven. The Greek term for heaven is ouranos. So that's the term found right here. Better translated, more literally translated here, the birds of the heaven have nests. And then we know in a second way that the term heaven is used of the region of the realm of the sun, moon, and the stars. Go back with me to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 22 and verse 17. Genesis 22, 17. And there, God to Abraham said in the long ago, and blessing I will bless thee, watch it now, and multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. Genesis 22 and verse 17. So in Matthew 8:20, the term heaven is used of the region where the birds fly and where rain is formed and falls from. In Genesis 22:17, it refers to the region of the realm of the sun, moon, and the stars. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, a third use of that term. There our Lord says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now there he's referring to the dwelling place of God. The dwelling place of his Father. So again, very quickly here, the term heaven is used in different ways in the scriptures depending upon the context. It's used of the region where the birds fly and rain is formed and falls from, number one. Number two, it's used of the realm of the sun, the moon, and the stars, the celestial bodies. And number three, of the dwelling place of God. So this morning, when we talk about the blessings of heaven, we're not talking about the blessings of the realm where the birds fly. We're not talking about the region of the sun, moon, and stars, but we are talking about the blessings of the dwelling place of God. Just a little heads up relative to our use of the word heaven this morning, and in the remainder of our time, it's a quarter after, in the next 25 minutes, let's look at several blessings of heaven as indicated in the Word of God. Number one this morning, point number one, heaven is a place of rest. And all of our points will begin with a word that itself begins with the letter R, and that should aid us remembering the points of our lesson this morning. The blessings of heaven, number one, heaven is a place of rest. Go with me if you care to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. There the Hebrew writer said in the long ago, "There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest to the people of God." Now, most English translations do not have the word Sabbath there, but it's there in the Greek text. "There remaineth therefore a rest," the King James says, "for to the people of God." But Sabbatu, the Greek term for Sabbath, is there in the Greek. In the Greek New Testament, "There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God." The Hebrew writer was writing to Jewish Christians. These people understood the Sabbath, did they not? These Jewish Christians had a background where they had, previous to their conversion, observed the Sabbath. And so now, that concept is spiritualized, if you will, and he writes to them, "There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God." He's talking about heaven. And down two verses later, verse 11, he says, "Let us labor therefore that we may enter into that rest." Heaven is a place of rest. We are expected to work now and rest in eternity. Work for the Lord now. And ultimately, the rest that awaits us when this life is over. Revelation 14 and verse 13, the Apostle John said in the long ago, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may," watch it now, "rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." They're resting from their what? Their labors. They're laboring now. They're working now, Clayton. And they'll rest in eternity. And so that is the attitude and the actions that we ought to have. Let's work now for the Lord. Let's do all we can while we have time and opportunity. And when this life is over, we'll be able to rest from our labors and our works of obedience, our good works that flow from Christianity, from being New Testament Christians, will follow us into the heavenly realm. Point number two this morning, under the title of "The Blessings of Heaven." Not only is heaven a place of rest, but number two, heaven is a place of reaping. Heaven is a place of reaping. Go with me, please, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, and beginning with verse 7, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the churches of Galatia, said, and I quote, he said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Here we are now, look at verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit," here we are now, "shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9. Back to verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Heaven is a place of reaping. We sow now, and we reap ultimately in eternity. Now that is not to suggest, Ken, that there's no reaping spiritually. Now there is. In John chapter 4, 34 and 35, our Lord said, "My food, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." We sow now spiritually, and we do some reaping now spiritually. But ultimately, heaven is the place of reaping. So let's work now, rest in eternity. Let's sow now and reap in eternity, because heaven is a place of rest and heaven is a place of reaping. Point number 3 this morning, under the title of The Blessings of Heaven. And all of this is to engender in us a spirit that drives us to that heavenly home. That even though we become discouraged, brethren, in this life, and there are many things that can downgrade our attitude, that can discourage us, disappoint us, all kinds of things happen. Sickness in the family, death in the family, death among dear friends, the loss of a job, the reduction of the good health we've had for so many years. Over the years, like Wayne and other gospel preachers, I've seen member after member, brethren of mine who were enjoyed great physical vitality. And then all of a sudden, like you snap your fingers, like you flip a switch on the wall, all of a sudden they lost it overnight. That doesn't happen to everyone, but it happens to some. And they're disappointed, discouraged. They were accustomed to going and doing and being this and enjoying this, and now it's gone. So all of this message this morning is, again, in order to engender in us a real spirit and a real drive to be what we ought to be now and enjoy what we can have if we are pleasing to God now when this life is over. I want heaven to be my home. I've determined that heaven will be my home. And I believe that we can know that we're saved from our past sins. And I can believe that we know, or we can know, that we're leading, that we're living faithful Christian lives. And that being the case, I believe we can know that if we were to die right now, this moment, that heaven would be our home. I believe we have that kind of confidence communicated in the Word of God. And all we need do then is then, if you will, transplant that confidence from God's Word into our lives. And let's do just that. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." 1 John 5 and verse 13. These are things that we can know. I can know if I'm saved. I can know if heaven will be my home. And so let's go to another point. The blessings of heaven. What awaits us at the end of a faithful Christian life. Point number 3. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. Go with me, please, to Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 21, and this statement is repeated in verse 23. There, our Lord Himself, in a picture of the judgment that dominates the latter part of Matthew chapter 25, our Lord says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." What? "For enter into thy joy of thy Lord." There it is. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Heaven is a place, number 3, of rejoicing. And rejoicing and joy are two forms of the same Greek word, brethren and friends. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. Matthew 25, 21, repeated in Matthew 25 and verse 23. Now, like our previous point, I want to highlight that we're not suggesting that there's no joy, no rejoicing now. There is indeed. There's great rejoicing now in a temporal sense and also in a spiritual sense. I'm reminded, as you are, of Romans 12 and verse 15, where Paul said, and I overheard Wayne quoting this verse out in the foyer just a moment ago, outside, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, that's in the temporal setting in which we are. We ought to rejoice with one another. Someone gets a job promotion. Someone has a great accomplishment at school or at college, whatever the case might be. Someone is baptized into Christ. A spiritual thing, yet in the temporal frame in which we live. So rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. But I'm reminded also of Philippians 3 and verse 1, where Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." But I can't rejoice in the Lord unless I'm in the Lord. And I get into the Lord by being baptized into the Lord. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." So we do rejoice now both temporally and spiritually, but ultimately our rejoicing is in heaven in eternity when this life is over. Again, our Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Speaking of heaven itself, of eternity that awaits us when this life is over. Point number 4 this morning, under the title of "The Blessings of Heaven." Heaven is a place of rest. Heaven is a place of weeping. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. Point number 4, heaven is a place of reunion. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 8, but now verse 11. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. And here our Lord says, "And I say unto you," when we read that in Scripture, we ought to bend an ear. We ought to lean forward and listen to what the Lord has to say. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, sit down, more literally, would be translated recline. They would recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Folks in the first century didn't necessarily pull up a chair to the table, Wayne, as we do now. But they reclined. Their tables almost, not exclusively, but for the most part, were low slung tables, low to the ground tables. And people had pillows and shorter chairs, and they reclined at meal and a more comfortable setting. Sometimes we do that at our house before the television on maybe a Friday night or whatever. We'll get some pizza and a salad and just kind of recline and relax. And I don't know if I like eating like that better or not, but we do it from time to time. So we recline from time to time. "But many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down," recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now our term reunion is not found there, but he's talking about a reunion. A reunion of the faithful of all the ages in heaven. Heaven is indeed a place of reunion. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I strongly suspect that many of your families still have an annual family reunion here or somewhere. You travel to it, people come here. Our family doesn't do it annually by any means, but we used to, year after year, in Pocahontas, Arkansas, my hometown. And we would gather there, folks from all over, family from all over, gather there for the annual funeral family reunion on the banks of 11 Point River. We met in a cabin, a concrete block cabin my grandfather built with his own hands decades and decades ago. And what a wonderful time it was, grilling out, playing baseball, and talking and playing horseshoes, and eating barbecued chicken and barbecued hamburgers, and all the festivities that come with family reunions, and all the good memories that are made and remembered from that day forward. But all of that, as good as it is, as real as it is, pales in comparison to the great reunion that awaits us when this life is over. Because heaven is a place of reunion, one of the many blessings that awaits us when this life is over. Point number 5 this morning, as we talk about the blessings of heaven. Heaven, point number 5, is a place of responsibility. Heaven is a place of responsibility. But now, Brother Mel, didn't you just mention that it's a place of rest? It is. But the rest of heaven, point number 1, is not rest as we think of it. like on a vacation in Clayton, where we're maybe sitting in a lounge chair and someone serving us Mountain Dew or iced tea or whatever you drink, eating bonbons or having fried shrimp or whatever you do on vacation. Not that kind of a rest. It's a rest from our labors here, but there are responsibilities in the heavenly realm. Go with me, please, to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 3. And again, this is our proof text for point number 5. Heaven is a place of responsibility. In the closing clause, the Apostle John, as moved by the Spirit of God, says, and I quote, "And his servants shall serve him there." And his servants shall serve him there. Revelation 22 and verse 3. Servants is the Greek term douloi, slave, a bond servant, representing the lowest level of servitude in the first century Greco-Roman world, the Mediterranean world. Douloi, slave, servant. And his slaves shall serve him there. Serve is from the Greek term latruo. And the lexicon say that it means and involves the carrying out, and I'm quoting here, the carrying out of religious duties. And his slaves shall carry out religious duties there. We will be the slaves, the bond servants of God Almighty, of Jesus the Christ, and we will be unashamed of such, we'll be proud of such. We will carry out the religious duties of our master, of our owner, of our ruler, of our Lord, of our Kurios, Jesus himself, and we will do it gladly. We won't mumble. We won't complain. We won't bicker. We won't pout. We won't turn around and walk out. We won't to get aggravated or angry. We'll be glad to do whatever the Lord has us do, because heaven is a place of responsibility. If the Lord wants me to empty trash in heaven, I'm going to be the first man. I'm going to be Johnny on the spot. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, I'm going to be willing to do it. Now, we always, or I should say we sometimes, bicker and complain now about different duties and responsibilities at home, on the job. We wish things were a bit different. We would rather someone else do this than us, etc. I don't believe that's going to be an issue at all in heaven. Whatever we'll be so grateful can to be there, whatever the Lord desires of us, we will be willing to do. And we will be with the faithful of all the ages in that great reunion in heaven itself, in that great place of responsibility, of rest, of weeping, and of rejoicing. Point number 6, and finally this morning, under the title of The Blessings of Heaven. Heaven is a place of rest, of reaping, of rejoicing, of reunion, of responsibility. And number 6, and finally this morning during our Bible class hour, heaven is a place of rewards, plural. Heaven is a place of rewards. Go with me, please, to Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, the closing verses of the Beatitudes section of the Sermon on the Mount that encompasses Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And there our Lord said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Watch it now. "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you," Matthew 5, 11 and 12. "For great is your reward in heaven." Our Lord saying we're going to have to endure things now. Men are going to revile you, going to speak evil of you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says, in turn, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Why, Lord? "For great is your reward which is in heaven. And so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." They've already plowed the ground that we're on. They've already plowed that road. The prophets were persecuted. No one, perhaps other than our Lord, was persecuted more than Jeremiah was. Read about the man Jeremiah. Read the book of Jeremiah. Read the book of Lamentations. Read of the suffering that Jeremiah endured in that day and age. What a great prophet of God he was indeed. He sometimes was discouraged, but he bucked up under it all and did what God would have him to do. He said of God, His word is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah had thought that he would just quit speaking. He would quit preaching. He would quit prophesying. He would just go silent and not have to endure what he endured because of the message that the Lord had given him. But he said, I couldn't do it. His word, God's word, was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. He had to do what God would have him do. Brother friends, if we'll do that now, then the great rewards of heaven will be ours when this life is over. Heaven is a place of rewards. We like rewards now. Folks like a pay raise every year or two or three, whatever one can get. Folks like to receive a reward for this or that, for their efforts academically or professionally or whatever the case might be. There's nothing wrong with a reward system. We believe people ought to be rewarded on the basis of their efforts. A meritorious award system, a rewards system, where people merit it through their efforts. And I'm not suggesting to you we can merit heaven. We can't. We can't earn heaven. We can't do enough good deeds to have God in our debt where He owes us anything. But when we comply with the wishes, the dictates, the commands of our Lord on this earth, in this life, then we will not have merited it, but we will receive a reward for our faithful service to the Lord now. I'm not going to argue with that. I don't believe you're going to argue with it at all. So again, in closing, our time is up this morning. Heaven is a place of rest, of reaping, of rejoicing, of reunion, of responsibility, and of rewards. A closing verse for point number 6 that we just mentioned. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, Peter said, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Heaven is a place of rewards, a place of inheritance when this life is over. Let us determine, not only this day, but every day that we're privileged to live, that we'll live for Him, that when we mess up, and we will, we do, when we sin, that we'll make it right, that we will apply or find ourselves in a position to have the blood of Jesus applied to ourselves, to our hearts, to our minds, and that the blood might cleanse us, and that we might be free from those sins, that we might press forward and do all that God would have us to do, knowing of the blessings of heaven, knowing that one day heaven will be our home. Great to be with you. It's about 37 minutes before the hour. We'll close out our class now. We'll look forward to the assembly of exhortation, the AM worship hour just a moment from now. But great to be with you. Great to spend this time together. We'll look forward to worshiping together just a little bit from now.
I've always heard people say heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I always like that phrase.
And I agree. I've heard it too, and it is. It's exactly true. It's 100% true. I might add to that, although we don't often think about it, don't like to think about it, but truly hell is a prepared place for a prepared people. Kind of the flip side. People are preparing themselves for hell, unfortunately. One of our brothers, one of our deacons at Shades Mountain, Wayne, told me recently, I say recently, a few years back, he said, I believe people are working themselves towards hell. And I said, you're exactly right. People are working their way toward hell. And we don't want to do that. We want to be the prepared people that we ought to be, because heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Great way to end the class with that great statement from Brother Wayne. Great to be with you. And we'll look forward to worshiping together just a little bit from now.